This is The Pulse. I'm Bharati Jagdish. Now, many more transportation options in Singapore since the private hire car space was opened up. But now, plans to merge Uber and Grab seem to have thrown a spanner in the works. Would a merger help or hurt consumers? Or will it really not change anything at all? To talk more about this, I'm joined by Chief Editor of Digital News at Channel News Asia, Jamie Ho, and analyst David Kuo from The Motley Fool. Now, Grab announced last week that it has acquired Uber's Southeast Asia operations. It says it will integrate Uber's ride-sharing and food delivery business in the region into its platform. In Singapore, although agencies such as the Land Transport Authority and the Competition Commission of Singapore are still ironing out the details and studying the impact of the deal. But some drivers have expressed concerns that their car rental contracts and incentives are up in the air. Consumers are also worried that they may have to pay more for their rides with perceived less competition in the market. By the way, the Competition Commission of Singapore can issue an interim order to stop the firms from merging. For now, it's proposed interim measures which require Grab and Uber to maintain independent pricing and product options. But let's also remember, we have taxis in the mix, trains, buses, bicycles, also homegrown carpooling app Ride recently announced it will be launching RideX, its new private hire car service. So another player in the market. Are the fears unfounded? Let's start with you, David.
Well, I think they are. I think what Grab and Uber have shown is that there is a demand for an alternative service to taxis, the traditional taxis. And I think prior to Uber and Grab, everybody thought that ComfortDelGro had control of the market. And really what this has done is to show that you can actually break this model. And the old ComfortDelGro taxi drivers were probably too comfortable, if I can use that pun. I think they were too comfortable in the fact that they thought that there would never be any competition. But there is competition now, and they have to react to it. Maybe there was too much competition in the sense that we had two really big players there, and they need to consolidate.
Well, you see, I think the consumers who are saying that they're worried that this sort of monopolistic environment will drive prices up are only looking at the private hire car space. They're not looking at the market, the transportation space in its entirety,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So I mean, it depends on how you look at competition, right? So within that space, yes, it may have been constrained. But I think ultimately, if we look at it from, as David said, a Comfort now versus Grab perspective, I think Grab still has to keep an eye over its shoulder at Comfort. I think this is a perfect chance for Comfort to really up its game and see how it can compete. And I think there are many advantages that Comfort already has, our traditional taxi companies. And I think there will be a natural sort of a limit and a catch to what Grab can do as what people fear they may be a monopolistic player. I don't think they will be in that sense.
But Jamie, is it Comfort that they need to look out for? Because I think the genie is out of the bottle now, because anybody can now come into this market. And the LTA has effectively leveled the playing field, and anybody who wants to can come into this market. So if those commuters are concerned, if those drivers are concerned that maybe prices will rise, that will therefore make an incentive for new entrants to come in. Because as we all know, I mean, if there is excess profit there, then other companies will come in and say, I want a piece of this action. And then it will drive prices back down again.
It's still very much in flux, right? We can't say that what we're seeing now is going to remain the way it is, or that there is a limit to how many can enter the market.
Well, the thing is, things changed the moment you allowed Grab and Uber into this marketplace. Because prior to them entering, nobody would have thought that there was actually competition in this market.
Yeah.
Sure, there were some other taxi operators here in Singapore, but ultimately, everybody was playing by the same rules.
But I wonder,
my fear is that in spite of the fact there are going to be several players in the private hire car space, will they also at some stage end up playing by the same rules?
So I'm wondering, I mean, in the private car hire space, whether or not there is indeed that much space for them, because this is not that big a market at the end of the day, Singapore. So are we actually...
But didn't we say that when Comfort was actually in control of the market? We thought, hey, you know...
But it's a different model.
Yeah.
I think the taxi versus a private car are two quite different models, but they compete. But yeah. within the same model, for example, the private car hire, I'm not sure whether it is that sustainable to have too many or more than two or three players in at the same time.
What do you think, David? Would it be sustainable considering the size of the market, the consumer market?
Well, I think it really depends on whether or not the fears over rising prices will create that excess profit. Because there are some similarities between this and the airline industry, for instance, where people thought there was excess profit in the airline industry. And suddenly these low-cost carriers came along and said, do you know what? You don't need to pay $400 to go from here to a destination. We can actually do it for $60, and we can still make a profit out of this. So ultimately, it will be profit that will that will determine. And then it depends on whether or not the buyers of that service drive, you know, that new model, because buyers are the people, the customers are the people who would determine whether or not a service is successful.
Exactly. And I think that's what Grab has come out to say, that if they raise prices sure. and they make it unattractive, it's not going to serve exactly. them anyway. However, the fact that you talked about low-cost carriers yeah. and that parallel that you drew has made me think of something else. Several experts have pointed out that the levels of discounts and subsidies that players like Grab had been providing were unsustainable to begin with, and this is likely to end very, very soon. So
because
the repercussions of that,
because the prices were so low and so
they're just trying to get market share,
exactly.
right? So
that therefore for a short term, I think changed consumer behavior towards a slightly more unsustainable level. They probably took these rides when they normally wouldn't have considered a ride in the past. They may have considered taking the MRT or a bus. Mm. But because it changed their behaviours in the short term, there are fears that if you want to perpetuate this behaviour, then, oh my God, you have to pay higher prices. But I think over time, the prices will probably have to get to a more sustainable level and then moderate consumer behavior again.
Yeah, because earlier when we were talking off air, Jamie, you mentioned that what we're seeing now, a chunk of it might be just supply-driven demand.
Exactly.
But if the prices rise, mm-hmm. will we see such a demand?
Yeah, so then you have the supply curve, demand curve moving again, right, towards a new level, which is probably, hopefully, again, I think we're at the stage where I think there's over supply and over demand a little bit. I think people do take these things for granted because it's so affordable. And this has led to all sorts of behaviors, and if you ask me, strange unintended consequences. There were some media reports about demand for petrol has actually grown quite significantly in Singapore precisely because of this. And I don't think that is the right direction that we want to go to in any case.
But you know, when a new entrant comes into the market, they have to decide how they want to play that particular market. Do they come in with a luxury service and say, we're going to charge over the top and provide you with a bespoke service? Or do they come in and say, we're going to undercut the current operator and we're going to come in cheap? Now, what they've actually done is to subsidize that service mm-hmm. to some extent. And maybe they are right. Cash is king. And in the case of Uber, there comes a point where you cannot keep on burning that amount of cash. I mean,
exactly,
Uber, over the last 9 or 10 years, has gone through about $11 billion. I mean, they've been losing about $1 billion a year on average, you know, over the last 9 or 10 years. That is unsustainable. So I think maybe it was right for them to call time and say, hey, we've reached that stage now where we have to make a choice. We either keep on throwing more money at the service in order to maintain that market share, or we accept the fact that we have to consolidate ourselves, focus on the markets that we can be lucrative in, that we can make money in, and the ones that we can't, just as in China, when they sold it to Didi, they said, well, you know, we can't keep on sort of throwing money at this problem because maybe Didi has more cash than we do, and we're just going to drive ourselves into the ground.
Where is Grab in all of this in terms of profitability?
Well, I think if you have a look at the entire model, if Uber is losing money, then Grab must also be probably losing money as well. And so Grab is having a look at all of the services that they can provide. And they're saying, if we were to acquire Uber, then we wipe out one of the competitors, and then can we focus on the other parts of our business? For instance, the food delivery business,
maybe financial services.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Bharati. I mean, financial services is very lucrative, and if they can scale that financial services business, this GrabPay, then I think, you know, they probably have a much better business model than just simply ferrying people from home to work every day.
What is the long-term strategy here? What is the end game here, though?
I think it is financial services, because I think financial services is one of those scalable businesses. I mean, you don't have to keep on buying new cars in order to acquire new customers. But I think, you know, in the case of financial services, we've seen, you know, in China, for instance, you know, how Ant Financial and how Alipay, those kind of things, you know, are such a scalable business. And they are probably very, very lucrative, and they do generate cash for the company.
Might a company like Grab finally exit the transport sector altogether?
That's a really good question.
I don't know. I mean, here's another way to look at it, right? So I was in the States last year, and the first time I was, and it was the first time that I was there since Uber arrived. And in places where the public transport network is not as advanced, for example, like in Washington, D.C. or something like that, Uber has changed behaviors entirely, and you can see where it fits in. But if you look at it in terms of Singapore, over time, you'll have our public transport evolve as well. And the wild card here is once the entire MRT network is in place, 5-10 years' time.
And working well.
And working well, then I think you will see a change in customer behavior again. And I think the likes of Grab do see that over time, there is a certain limit to growth as far as the private car hire business is concerned. In which case, as David suggests, I don't think that is in itself the end game.
You're absolutely right, Jamie, because I think what you need is a connected transport policy. And if you do have a connected transport policy, and by that I'm talking about bicycles, I'm talking about buses, mm-hmm. I'm talking about MRTs, mm-hmm. I'm talking about taxis.
Yeah.
When you do have that sort of connected service and everything is running well, then I think it gives consumers more choice. And I think, you know, choice for consumers is a good thing.
Why would such companies go into the transport sector knowing that they're not going to make any money out of it? In fact, they're going to be making losses.
It's the same reason why, you know, companies want to fly a low-cost carrier service. Mm. And in some cases, they don't do particularly well. And they have to accept that they aren't making money, and they have to either sell themselves or call it a day.
Mm. Or use their other subsidiaries to cover the losses.
Something like that, yeah. Mm.
Okay, so going forward, what is the ideal situation? Because at this time, we have mentioned that the Competition Commission of Singapore is reviewing the whole issue. What's a good way to go here? Should they, in your view, say, fine, do whatever you want, there's still competition overall, let's not rein this in?
Okay, Bharati, when you have a look at a company like Uber, who have decided that they want to call it a day, if the Competition Commission doesn't allow Uber to be acquired by Grab or the merger of the two, what is the alternative for Uber?
Exactly. Yeah.
They will just say, hey, if you don't let us merge, we are going to leave anyway.
Mm.
So what choice have you got? You've got Hobson's choice. You either let them merge, or you say, or Uber will say, we're leaving anyway. And that, I think, will leave the Singapore commuters in an even worse position. So I think the Competition Commission may say, we will let you merge, but they will monitor that price. And you can't really sort of force a company to say that you can only charge so much for operating a service. Because they will say, well, if I can't make money, are you going to subsidize me?
Mm, exactly. And I think in the middle of all this, the drivers are really confused and worried as well. The repercussions for them, I believe, Jamie, we did a story on this as well, what the drivers are saying about all this. It's been all about the consumers, is what some of the drivers are saying. How are we going to be impacted by this? How is this going to serve us and our livelihoods?
In the short term, I suppose there's a lot of uncertainty and fear as far as the drivers are concerned. And then once you have one monopolistic player there, what does it mean for them? But I think, again, just as the way the model worked in the initial phases changed consumer behavior slightly unrealistically for the long term, Similarly, that probably might have been the case for the drivers as well, because the model was so open, so simple and so transparent that you had drivers coming in their free time, doing as much as they would like or as little as they would like. Probably there needs to be some tweaks in terms of how drivers come into the system as well. And once you manage that, maybe there will come a nice equilibrium where you have just the right number of drivers who have just the right number of proper contracts, proper payment, proper salaries. I think that's probably where we'll get to.
Jamie, you're right. But I sometimes wonder, if Comfort were to charge, say, $10 to go from A to B, and you can use a Grab or an Uber to go from A to B for $5, and that other $5 is being subsidized by the operator themselves in order to compensate the driver for that particular service, well, for that particular journey, that $5 has to disappear at some point in time. Mm. It cannot continue.
Exactly.
So who is going to pick up that $5?
The consumer, obviously.
The consumer will have to pick it up. I mean, the driver is not going to say, I'm going to subsidize you the $5. Yeah,
yeah. Mm. So at the end of the day, we all really have to manage our expectations. You can't be expecting these subsidies.
Expectations previously unrealistic?
Because
previously people would say, if I can go from A to B for $5 in a Grab, whereas I would pay $1.20 or $1.40 by bus, the difference there is not that great. So therefore, that extra $3.60 that I pay is worth it. The extra $7 something, you know, that I would have had to pay in a taxi was beyond what I can afford. So therefore, I wouldn't go by taxi. But now you have to have a look at this pricing level and say that, can you keep on driving people from one place to another for $5? And the answer is you can't.
Mm. So once they raise prices, wouldn't the taxi drivers have an easier time?
I think
then it'll be a more level playing field, right?
And if the drivers for Uber or Grab are not being subsidized by the company anymore, then they will have to decide whether
they want to be in the business as well.
Precisely.
Exactly.
You see, while we say all this, that, you know, prices will eventually normalize, there will be some sort of equilibrium. One could go back to that argument that you made earlier, David, that companies like Grab have other means of making money through financial services and all these other things that they are planning to introduce to the local market. So might they still be able to subsidize those rides if they manage to make money in other areas?
They may very well.
Some companies do that, right? It's not unusual.
They may very well sort of say that I am prepared to make less money on the taxis as long as I am promoting a particular brand out there, and then I will make the money from somewhere else. I mean, isn't that how? I mean, we go back to this low cost airline again. Isn't that how some of these low cost airlines operate? Because what they say is that we don't really make that much money on the seats. But what we will do is to actually sort of charge you for, if you want to bring luggage on board the plane, we will charge you for putting it in the hold. When you're on the plane itself, we will charge you for food. If you want a blanket, we will actually charge you money for it. So they may not make money for the seats, but they know they have a captive audience there. And once you're on board, we will sell you anything we can. You want headphones to listen to music and watch the movie? We will charge you for that.
Are you suggesting that happened in Grab cars as well?
I wouldn't mind. Snacks would be great. Yeah,
I know. So have your Hainan chicken rice whilst you're actually sitting in a Grab taxi.
A beer would be nice too.
Why not? But not for the driver variety.
Definitely. Instead of going, woe is me, because two companies are merging, you really never know how this space is going to evolve, considering the various options.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was the consumers that actually drove the demand, which is something that you mentioned right at the outset, Jamie. Mm. It was consumers that drove the demand for Uber and Grab. If the consumers didn't want that service, those two companies would not exist here in Singapore. But it is because consumers said, we like something like this, that allowed them to become a major player here in Singapore.
The test is what will happen once those prices rise, if those prices rise in the near future. Many thanks to both of you for joining me today. David Kuo of The Motley Fool and Jamie Ho, Chief Editor of Digital News at Channel News Asia. Thanks for joining us on The Pulse.